The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Tzadihe. We're now continuing Simon Kuf Tzadihe. And we had discussed before the laws of Kriya, the idea that a person is supposed to rent their garments when a close relative passes away. And now we're going to continue with these halachas from Sif Tes. There's a concept throughout the laws of Avelis that we have different periods of time. We have the immediate time of death, and then we have the 7 days of Shiva period, and then we have the 30 days. And for most relatives, except for a parent, the mourning concludes and ends after 30 days. And for a parent, it goes on for 12 months. And these periods of time have different halachas, different laws. Now, one of the things we find is that during the 30-day period, as we mentioned in the last halacha of the previous shiur, if a person hears about that a relative passed away during those 30 days, then they would have an obligation to perform kriya, to rip their clothing, because it's close enough to the time that the person passed away to be considered that there's still chimum, there's still that strong emotion, that they should have an obligation to rent their garments. Now, over here, we find a concept, which we find in many aspects of Hilchos Avelos, which is the idea of a regel being mevatel gezeiros shleishim, which means to say if a yontif, if a holiday, let's say Sukkot or Pesach, comes in the middle, that 30-day period is shortened. And the question is, how does that impact the laws of Kriya? We know if a person hears about that a relative passed away within 30 days, that they still have an obligation to rip their clothing, whereas after 30 days they do not. Now, what's going to be if, say, 10 days or 20 days after the person passes away, it becomes yontif? Do we say that after yontif, they would be able to still have the obligation of kriya or not? So the Kitzer says the following in Sif Tes. Haregel, the holidays, mevatel gzeiras shleishim, they stop the law of 30 days, that period, gamla inyan kriya, even for the laws of kriya. Now, there is a chiddush here, there's something novel here, because kriya, as we said, has to do with chimum, has to do with the emotional feeling. So, if there's an emotional feeling, then that should obligate a person to perform kriya, and what difference would it make if the regel comes in between? But for whatever reasons, perhaps that the chachamim, when they made this obligation, they sort of standardized it, so they made it that there is no obligation after 30 days. That could be one thing. Possibly, maybe the regel, the fact that there was a distraction of the holiday, maybe also took away from it. Those are both possible explanations. Now, the Kitzer continues, V'lachenim paga haregel toich shloishim b'shar kraivim. So, what would happen if the regel, the yontif, came during the 30-day period? So, b'shar kraivim yochel litzfor legamrei b'erev haregel achar mincha. As we mentioned before, halacha that says that on a regular relative, before 30 days, ones are not allowed to sew up the ripped area completely. They could just do a loose stitch. However, we said that after 30 days, one's allowed to do a tight stitch, a full stitch. So the Kitzer says, what's the halacha with the person who a relative died, and now within the 30 days, the yontif comes. So we say that one would be allowed to do that full stitching right after yontif. But the Kitzer adds, not only right after yontif, but even on erev yontif, achar mincha, after mincha. For al avivim yachal ishlal, and with a parent, where the halacha is that after 30 days one could do a loose stitch, one could do that again after yontif, even the day before yontif, on erev yontif, after mincha, because after mincha is already considered like yontif. Now it is interesting because normally we don't do malacha after mincha, but I would imagine that the person probably doesn't have any other clothing, and that's probably the reason why they're doing this. As we mentioned before, you know, today's day and age where people usually don't wear those ripped clothing again, they just throw them out, then we mentioned that that's why some places can hold that there's not really a problem with Baal Tashchis destroying to do more than the exact amount that a person is supposed to do. But you just see from there how in those times they obviously were reusing these clothing. They didn't have so many clothing, so that's why they probably had a heter to do it even on Erev Yontif before Mincha time. Now the Kitta continues with an unfortunate situation where a person needs to tear Kriya again during the mourning period. And the question is, do you have to make a new rip, just add to the old one? How does that work? So this is what the Kitta is going to explain to us. Kara Almeis, one who performed Kriya on a relative that passed away, Ubasech Shiva Meis Le Meis Acher, and within 7 days, another relative passes away. Machek Kamar Shlosha Etzbois, Menakera, Horishon Vikarea Tefach. So one option would be to make a new tear. So you can't do it right next to the old tear, because it looks like the same one, but you move away 3 Etzbois, that's like a few inches, and then you make a new tear. That would be one option. Oisha Maisif Ala Kera Horishon Tefach. Or one can add on to the original rip a Tefach. And the idea is, I guess, that it'll be easier to sew up if it's just one rip. Aval achar shiva kol zman shabeget hakaru alav meisav halav kol shuva dayav. So this is what the leniency would be that after 7 days, so a person's not within the time where they still have the obligation to mourn the other person the same way and to do the kriya. So now if a new person passes away, they don't even have to do a full kriya. They would just have to add a little bit. That's obviously save them from ruining the beged more than they need to. Ach imarishon haya mishar kreifim. He says, but this is only true if both relatives were the equal status. Those, we know that the two levels are a parent is more stringent, and there's the other relatives. So if they're both the other relatives, so then one could just add on to a previous tear if it's after Shiva, after the 7 days. Ach imarishon haya mishar kreifim. But if the first relative was not a parent, Vasheni who avva imoy, and the second one is a parent, was like afilu la'achar shiva, even after the 7 days, tzarch laharchik shlosh etzbois v'lekra kedina, one would have to make a new tear, and they could not just add on to the old one. And the way they do that would be to go again a few inches away and make a new tear. She'ein aviv v'imoy b'tosefes. Why? Because since the obligation to do kriya on a parent is very strong because it's such a deep mourning for them, so therefore it's not enough just to add on to a pre-existing rip. One would have to do an entire new rip. And the same would be true that even if the original tear was for a parent and the other parent passes away, that one could not add on to it because each parent needs a complete sign of mourning, so therefore one would have to tear a new tear. Now we continue to Sif Yud Aleph, which also deals with this very unfortunate situation where a person has multiple relatives that passed away. And this is even more tragic that they both happened, they heard about it at the same time. So what happens then? So the Kitcha says the following. Shama pam achas, b'pam achas, if a person heard at one time, shemesu avi imoy, that he hears that both of his parents passed away, or two other relatives. So then, if it's a regular relative, so one could rip one rip for both of them. It was just like before, one could add on. So here, if it's at the same time, so one could rip one rip for both of them. But if it's a parent with another relative, so then they would first rip for the parent, and then it would have to do a separate ripping for the other one. And it would seem from here that the same would obviously be true, that if for both parents, one would have to do separate rips. So again, the basic idea is that for other relatives, one could just add on. When it comes to a parent, it has to be clear and succinct, out of respect for the parent, to do a separate kriya for them. Sif Yud Beis talks about what happens with a person that was ill to the point that they were unable to perform kriya. And now, when they got better later, the question is, do they have an obligation to perform it or not? So let's read the Kitzur inside. Chayla shemeis lemeis, an ill person that a relative passes away. If da'itai tzlulo, if the person's aware, so they know that this person passed away, and therefore that creates what was called a shas chimum, that creates that emotional surge, and that's the real obligation to do kriya. El she'ena yochel kriya machma shum asuka machalyai, but they're too weak, or they're it's not good for them to do it then because they're so ill. Potter achagach milikroya. Then they're exempt from doing afterwards. Now the reason is because since they were aware, so they knew that the person passed away, they had that shas chimum, they had that surge of emotion, and therefore, if they were to tear, say, a week later, or 2 weeks later, then it's not going to be meaningful because they don't have that that strong emotion. Elim Kane who are dying beside Shiva, unless it's within the 7 days, the Chashav Shas Chimum, because then within 7 days it will be called Shas Chimum. Now again, we do see a difference over here between a previous halacha that previously we mentioned, that if a person didn't know about the person passing away, then they have a full 30 days, but after 30 days we say it's too distant for them to have that Shas Chimum, that emotional surge. But over here, it has to be within 7 days. And it seems the reason is because if a person finds out within 30 days of the death, then it's still very strong because the person died pretty recently. But if a person heard about it, and then a person knew about it for 7 days, so then it's sort of, they calm down about the whole thing. And it's different than a person finding out within 30 days that the relative died in the first place. Now the Kitzur continues and says like this: Aval, however, im lo yachol lekraya machmas shalehoisa daitet sluya. But if the person was ill to the point, say they were in a coma, they were totally unaware. It's like kishatover lo dayat slulo. So when the mind becomes clear, have a oz shas chimam shalei. Now, so what happens is this person was in a coma for a week or two. And they get out of the coma and they realize, you know, unfortunately your brother passed away. So that moment is a Shas Chimum. So even though it's 2 weeks later, they could still perform a Kriya because it is a Shas Chimum for them. If they were aware and it's 2 weeks later, then it's not a Shas Chimum anymore. Oz Shas Chimum Shalai. Then that is the time of the when the emotions are strong. V'chayv Oz L'Kriya Yimubasach Shloshim. That's as long as it's within 30 days. Because after 30 days, even though it's the breaking news, but since it's so far from when it happened, so we say we don't have the Shechimum either. So again, there's 2 points. There's knowing about it and not doing anything, which the time is 7 days. And there's also finding out about it, but so far after the fact, and that amount of time is 30 days. Well, other than the Olam, and again, a parent is always forever in all these cases, because a person has that obligation out of respect to always do that for a parent. Now, we are going to see later in the Kitzur a discussion about a very very much this situation, but a little different. The question is going to be, what about this person who finds out that the relative passes away and wasn't able to observe the Shiva properly because they're not well? So, the halacha is that if one was not aware that a relative passes away and they find out within a certain amount of time that they have to start Shiva then. So, what would happen with this ill person? And according to the Kitzur, at least, he uses a very similar approach, that if the person is aware that the person passes away, so even if they couldn't fully observe Shiva because they're in an ill state, but at least they had anguish and maybe they were careful about a few things, so that would be called they observed the Shiva. Whereas if a person was fully unaware, so obviously he didn't do anything special for the Shiva, he didn't observe it in any way, even not mentally, so then if it's within a certain amount of time, then they would have to observe the Shiva then. This is, again, a halacha we're going to see later. But there are those that disagree in that situation, but over here, when it comes to laws of Kriya, everyone agrees that it has to do with that if a person's aware of it, then they only have 7 days to do the Kriya. And if the person's not aware of it, then they have the 30 days and the parent forever. Now, Sif Yigimel discusses the obligation of a child, of a katan, in Kriya. And it says the following. Katan Shemes Lemes, a minor that a relative passes away, afil lo higil chinuch, even if it's below the age of chinuch, right? Chinuch is, say, around 9 years old, where the child already understands and has self-control, so that you have an obligation to teach them. There's even a smaller child, so makaron lo kriya ktsas, we do a little bit of dripping, mishum agmas nefesh. In other words, so the people around them, as a sign of mourning for them, the child does some kriya. The harbos evel, to increase the mourning, vim higil l'chinuch, but if they got to the level of chinuch, then it's a mitzvah l'kriya, k'mag b'gdalim, then they have a mitzvah to do kriya, just like a gadol. Now this halacha about a katan performing kriya is sort of interesting, because we find in the laws of avelus, you know, something that we don't find other places, that normally there's the obligation of chinuch to educate a child. And with the laws of avelus, it seems to be, according to many paiskim, that there's no chiv chinuch, which means to say that even if you have a child that's higil chinuch, is of 9 years old and above, as long as they're not bar bas mitzvah, if a relative of theirs passes away, we don't obligate them to sit shiva. And there are a number of reasons given. One interesting reason is because chinuch is something that we know for sure a person's going to need. You know, you're going to have to shake lulav, you're going to have to eat matzah, you're going to have to daven, do all those types of things. So therefore, we have to mechanech them, we have to teach them. But sitting shiva, hopefully the person will never have to sit shiva. So therefore, we don't necessarily have an obligation on that. Another interesting reason given is because one of the ideas of avelus is that one doesn't learn Torah and one doesn't go out of the house. So that would mean that the children wouldn't be able to learn Torah, wouldn't be able to go to school and learn Torah. And therefore, because of that, the Chachamim did not want to give an obligation on the children so that they should not be mevatel Torah. Another possible explanation could be also that we know when it comes to chinuch, a child is only obligated in mitzvahs that don't have discomfort. So therefore, if a child, let's say, does something that an adult would not be allowed to do, but they do it for their own pleasure, then we don't stop them. So it could be avelus, which is inherently something that's discomfort, could be also they don't have the same obligation. Now that's all with the give avelus, but when it comes to kriya over here, so we find, at least according to the kitzur, there's an obligation for the children to perform kriya, and even for the small children, an obligation at least for the other people around them. Now the Nitei Gavriel, which is an important collection of different halachas on avelus, so he does bring a custom that some have a custom that this halacha of a children ripping their clothing is only on a parent, but not for a different relative. There also could be a dispensation that if, say, the sibling that passed away was under a year old, so that they're in such a situation, then it might not, also not be an obligation for them to perform kriya. Another thing he brings is a minhag in Yerushalayim, not to perform kriya at all. You know, again, he asks, how does that reconcile with this halacha? But the point is, there definitely are different customs regarding a katan doing kriya. The simple halacha would seem to be that if they're higil achilah, they are obligated, even though with the rest of avelus they are not. Now we're going to continue with Sif Yudalad. B'chol Amayid, now the question is, if a person's relative passes away on Chol Amayid, so do we do Kriya on Chol Amayid or not? So B'chol Amayid, Noegim of Dinas Elu, She'ein Kairin, Kiyim Al Aviv Imayid. The Kitzur writes that in his areas, we don't perform Kriya on Chol Amayid, because it's Avelus and it's ripping, only on a parent, maybe a makfura, or maybe a mashmur, whether it's the day of the burial, or whether it's the burial was before, but that's when they heard about it. Afil b'shmur rechayka, and even if it happened some time before, But if they passed away on Yontif and the person knew about it, since he's already not going to do the Kriya on time, as if the person passed away on Chol HaMoed, or if they heard about it on Chol HaMoed, so then that's the obligation at that time, and they're able to do it, then they should do it then. But if it was on Yontif, so at that time they couldn't do it, so it's getting pushed off. So then once it's getting pushed off, it should get pushed off to after Yontif. When they begin to mourn, that's when they should do it. Other relatives, they don't rip on Chol HaMoed only after the end of Yontif. Now the problem is that what if a person heard about the relative passed away, and it's within 30 days, but if they're going to wait until after Yontif, it's going to be after 30 days, there's going to be no more obligation. Then one should do it, because then you're not going to be able to perform the mitzvah at all. And then he adds in parentheses, Isser Shrita Uvakarch Alameis, to mutilate one's skin and to pull out hairs, which is prohibited because it was a non-Jewish practice, because of a siman kuf samach tes that was already discussed in an earlier siman. Now, the Nitta Gavriel does bring down quite a number of paiskim that hold that if there is no prevalent custom, one should do kriya for all relatives on Chol HaMoed. So again, this is, like we have many times in Hilchos Aveilos, different shitas. The Kitzur says that differentiates between a parent and other relatives, that a parent one should perform right away, and other relatives one should wait until after Yontif. But the Nitzavik Gavriel brings many achronim that hold one should do for all relatives right away, unless there's no clear specific custom. I'd just like to take a minute to point out an interesting thing about Hilchos Kriya, that we find in last year, we discussed at length the idea of a Beged Shel Zeah, that there are certain clothing that they're just there to absorb perspiration, and therefore, when it comes to the laws of Kriya, one is not obligated to rip those begadim. Now, some Paiskim deduce from here two important applications. One application is during the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, that we know we don't change our clothing, don't wear new clothing. So the question is, what about changing undergarments? And many Paiskim can bring a proof from here that you see that undergarments are not considered real clothing. They're just there to absorb the sweat. So therefore, likewise, one would be able to change them during the 9 days, because a person is an istinist, they don't like the sweaty feeling. And it's also not considered that they're wearing a new article of clothing, because those aren't really considered real clothing, like we see in the laws of Avelis, that they are not considered to be articles of clothing to have an obligation of a kriya. Now, another application to this would be some companies make tzitzis out of undershirt. And the idea is it's very cool, and it's very easy to wear, and therefore they put tzitzis on it. Some Paiskim object to that for the same reason, because if you are of the opinion that a Beged Shel Zeah is not a real Beged, then it's not even obligated in tzitzis, because tzitzis is supposed to be put on a real garment. This is not even a real garment. It's just there to absorb the sweat. So therefore, according to some Paiskim, it's preferable not to fulfill one's obligation of wearing tzitzis with these types of undershirt tzitzis, because it's not considered a real article of clothing. Rather, they should wear a regular pair of tzitzis, whether it's cotton or wool, and that will be a better way to fulfill their obligation. So again, these are two applications from this concept of Beged Shel Zeah that we find in other areas of halacha as well.